Coming up later in the show, it turns out the device that measures your oxygen levels through the device on your finger might not be as effective if you've got darker skin. It might mean you don't get diagnosed with sleep apnea, potentially.
And you might also get underdiagnosed in terms of how sick you are.
Relevant to me, because I'm a brown bear.
There are about 70,000 hip replacements a year in Australia, 85,000 knee replacements, probably about 10,000 shoulder replacements, so shoulders are growing in time. And we have a world-leading register of joint replacements in Australia. And it started off because we had a high redo rate in Australia. So in other words, taking out the old joint and putting in another one than other countries in the world. And of course, when you do that, first of all, there's pain, complications, expense for the person. But it also means an orthopedic surgeon who could be doing X number of new knee replacements helping people with knee arthritis are actually spending their time doing redos. And the National Joint Replacement Registry has just published its latest data and showing that the numbers of redos are going up. But there's a catch here, as you'll find out. So I thought I'd actually use this as an excuse to find out where we're at with hip and knee replacements and what the redo rate is and things that you should watch out for. And the person I spoke to was Dr. Peter Lewis, who's an orthopaedic surgeon and deputy director of the Australian Orthopaedic Association's National Joint Replacement Registry.
The revision burden, as it's termed, was roughly 10% of the total number of hip replacements done in the year. Over time, that's slowly come down, and now our revision burden is 6% or so. In Sweden, it's around 4 to 5%, and I think that's what we should be aiming to get toward.
Now, this is a different question from the one a person might ask who's going to have their hip done or their knee or even their shoulder. Because what I'd want to know is, Dr. Lewis is doing my knee this week or my hip. How long is that going to last?
When we look at the registry results, we know that 8% of both hips and knees are revised by 20 years using our modern prostheses. So conversely, that means 92% by 20 years haven't needed another operation. So we can quite confidently say to most people that the chances of you needing another operation by 20 years are less than 1 in 10. That does change with the patient's age, and it does change with the patient's comorbidity and obesity and some other factors.
When the Joint Replacement Registry started, one of the reasons postulated for the high revision rate for Australia internationally was that orthopaedic surgeons were just making their own decisions about which joint was best. They had their belief systems. Sometimes it was joints that they'd invented. Sometimes there were mixing manufacturer there and people having their favourite joints and believing they were great. And my understanding for the reason that the revision rate has come down from the sound of it by about 40 or 50% is that consumers and surgeons realise that some of these joints were crap and they needed to go with the joints that were high performing. Is my memory of that accurate?
Fairly good, Norm. What we do try and point out to surgeons and patients too is that there are a bunch of prostheses that do well and a bunch of prostheses that don't do so well. And there's a bunch of techniques which do better than others in general. So we try to give people guidance on better things to do for their patients, the better prostheses to use and the better techniques to put them in with.
Now, these latest data suggest there's been an uptick in revision rate.
Yeah, there's been an increase in numbers. If you look at the raw number of revision procedures last year and compare that to what it was, say, 20 years ago, there's been about a 5 times increase in the number of revision hip procedures and a 6 times increase in the number of revision knee procedures over that 20-year period or so. But at the same time, there's been a much larger increase in numbers of primary procedures being done. So the raw numbers don't really reflect the true case in that we're doing fewer revisions per primary procedure in 2024.
Give me a flavour of the sort of joint replacements that are performing well and the sort of procedures, because already we're hearing of knee surgeons moving to robotic surgery. And for the life of me, I can't work out what advantage you'd get from robotic surgery of the knee, given it's not like the abdomen or the heart where you're delving inside the body. But give me a sense of all that.
Okay, the prostheses have changed over time and we've now got better quality polyethylene bearings. And there's been subtle changes in prosthesis shape and designs and things that have also added slightly.
I've only ever seen one knee replacement. And what was impressive about it, well, first of all, just had no idea what to expect, but was that there was a jig and they were lining things up quite carefully via the jig before they put in the holes for the screws and so on. And clearly, once upon a time, that was probably done by eye, but now it's done mechanically.
Yeah, there's a technique called computer navigation where we orientate the cutting components by using like a GPS system. And that has been quite common for knees and much less common for hips. When we've looked at the results of that, though, there hasn't been a vast improvement or any real change in the outcome with regard to revision. There's also another technique where the patient's images are sent off and some customized cutting components are made, and that's called image-derived instrumentation, and does seem to help the placement of the acetabular component in a hip replacement. But when we look at the results in knee replacement, it's actually not much different at all from using mechanical instruments. And perhaps in the older patients, the results are actually a little bit poorer. And then thirdly, there's a technique where we use a robotic arm and it operates a cutting component. When we've looked at the results of that, the results of robotic-assisted surgery so far have not been any different from using mechanical instruments in knee replacements. And they're perhaps a little bit worse in hip replacements. So far, it's a tool that's fun for the surgeon to play with, but the patient hasn't seen any great advances.
And what about infection rates?
Unfortunately, with time, the infection rate has very slightly increased over time, and we're not really certain why that is. But now we're getting more of the late acute infections where people have a septic source elsewhere, and then that seeds the joint replacement that previously had been working well for years. Between 1.5% and 2% of people get infections.
Over the lifetime of their joint?
Yes.
What are the common myths and misbeliefs people have about, say, knee replacements?
Many people still think that their replacement is going to feel and behave like a 20-year-old's knee. So many times people get disappointed that they can't jump and jog like they once could. But they do work very, very well for most daily things. And especially for the people in the age group that receive joint replacements, they're not wanting to do extreme sports in general.
Dr. Peter Lewis, an orthopaedic surgeon and deputy director of the National Joint Replacement Registry. So now you know everything there is to know.
And have you changed your mind?
No, I'm still going to limp on with my Pilates and everything else.
We're limping here on ABC Radio National. You're with the Health Report.